Morning. Welcome to everyone in the house. I feel stirred. I feel so stirred inside, and I feel so amazed at my God and how He, not only who He is, we'll be finding that out forever. That will never end. There is no end to who He is. So that will unfold throughout eternity. The scriptures say a lot of things. Don't they? Say a lot of things. But the scriptures are always encouraging if you have, if you receive, if you accept, if you believe that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you'll ask Him to. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Not a churchy, religious-y, you need the Holy Spirit. But I mean, you need the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You do. Say, I got to have. Ever been anything you just felt like, I just got to have it? Well, if there's anything you got to have, you have to have the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you right now today, if you don't know that you're filled with the Spirit, ask Him to fill you. And then here's the key, forget about you. And know God is faithful to His Word. All you have to do is meet it in your heart. I love the scripture that says, I love all the scriptures, but I love one that comes to mind right now that says, God seeks true worshipers. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we've been talking quite a bit over the last few Sundays about not only is God an experience to us, but could you possibly be an experience to God? And I know that kind of can mess with religious mindsets, but could you be an experience to God? And some may think that kind of an arrogant, egotistical attitude to take on. But let me ask you this. How many of you believe you can have an experience with God? Yes. No, come on. Come on. Yes. So are you telling me you think you can have something that He can't? Can you know something that He can't? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I know so. So if we can know an experience with Him, He can know an experience with us. And the Word makes it very, very clear. He can be pleased with us. He can be displeased with unrighteousness. But God is love. And what God has done from the beginning of time, He looked for a way to forgive. He looked for a way to just make it right. God doesn't look at your sin. He looks for a way to get around it, to get over it, to get beyond it. God looks for every avenue that He can to be kind. Do you know the scriptures say that He is kind? He is kind to the ungrateful. He's kind to the evil. Are you kind to the evil? Well, let's not go there. I mean, if someone does something, we look for a way to get back at them or get back at whatever it is. We, you know, in the confines of our human mentality, we can try to just got to get back, but the mind of God is I've got to get inside. And we've probably all said, I know my place in Christ. Ever said that? I know who I am in the Lord. And anyone ever said that? I know who I am in God. But do you know who He is in you? I know who I am in Him, but do you know who He is in you? Because that's a different world. When we come into Him, we come into Him with a sense of, I need forgiveness, I need salvation, I need You to fix the wreck of my life that I've made. But so we know what it is to get in Him, to be in Him. I know my rights in God, but do you know who He is inside of you? And that really is the church. That's what the church is called. When you know who He is in you, and not just how forgiven and how loved and how cared for you are in Him, and you are, but do you know who He is in you? And that's where we're going. Hebrews chapter 6, And verse 1, it says, let us leave, let us move away from immaturity. I mean, how long do we have to continue to talk about needing to be saved? And I mean, God be praised, we're saved and we're baptized. But Paul is urging us here in the Word, and he's saying we have to go on in maturity and not laying again the foundation, talking about how we had to repent and how we had to overcome. I listen to so many songs, and sometimes, you know, I'll just turn on smooth jazz. No, I don't really, but I feel like it. But Jonathan does. Because I learned something. I learned something a few nights ago because I had an experience with God. And I'm not going to talk a lot about experience today, but I'm going to talk about it for a minute. I had an experience with the Lord, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I was on my face, prostrate before the Lord, and the Lord picked me up, lifted me up off the floor. And when he did, I went, God is in the house. God is in the house. He picked me up and he set me on a platform and he sat just behind me. And he looked like a man to you and I. But I know God's in the house. I mean, he just picked me up off the floor and then put me on a platform. And I'm thinking, I'm knowing this is either an angel of God, like one of the really big ones, or this is God himself. And so I am going to say to the Lord, are you an angel of the Lord or are you the Lord himself? But all that comes out of my mouth is, are you the Lord himself? And such a presence, but not looking, there's no glow, there's no long hair, there's no robe, just God. And I ask him, are you the Lord himself? Because again, remember, I want to say, are you an angel of the Lord? Are you the Lord himself? Because there's nothing about you that tells me either way who you are. And all that comes out is, are you the Lord himself? And he says, yes, I am. I'm going. And I said, oh my God, I am literally, oh my God, I am in the presence. God is here. God is here. And in a moment, I'm thinking so many questions I can ask right now because God is right here. And all that comes out of my mouth is, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll preach any word you want me to preach. I'll say anything you want me to say. I just need to know what, where, and I need your strength to do it. And I need your strength to do it was so strong in me because I know I'm telling God, I just told God that I will do whatever he wants me to do and that I will preach any word, I will bring any word he wants me to. And I know I can't fail. I just told God I would do it. And it's a feeling I could talk to you all day, and I don't know that I could express how determined in my heart I was knowing. I just told God that I will do anything he wants me to do. I just need to know what it is he wants me to do, when, where he wants me to do it, and I need your strength to do it. And he leads me to a door, opens the door. They just open of their own accord. The door just opens. Now, I've been sitting there talking to him for a while. And then he leads me to the door. The door opens and out on the street. And I'm thinking in my mind, so many things I need to ask because the world needs you. And I've asked you to make me your voice in the earth. So just tell me. And he leads me to children and never says a word to me at that point. And he just leads me to an open door and there's children playing in the streets. And I hear him tell me that's the answer. And I'm thinking children playing in the street is the answer. More happened. I'm not going to go into any more detail. I woke up and realized that he never said a word to me with his mouth. But I heard him say everything. I woke up with the greatest sense of understanding why everything happens that happens to a believer and to a non-believer. And the greatest impression that hit me was he wasn't such a... I don't know how I have spent the last week plus trying to accumulate words that would express what I felt, what I heard, but more importantly, how I heard it. And I still don't really... I don't have the words to say what I heard, but the thing that just rung out so loudly in my mind was God saying, I don't want to answer your questions in your ear. Because the depth of God's love, the depth of his spirit, the depth of his expression is so far beyond, and I understand it now, don't know that I have the words to express it in the way I understand it. God give me the wisdom and strengthen me to be able to say it. But the depth of his understanding is so unlimited, so far and so immediate, so immediate. We talked for a while, but I can't remember a thing he said. And when he answered me, he answered me. But when I woke up, I realized, wait a minute, his mouth never, I don't remember hearing words come out, but I could hear him as clearly as you can hear me right now. And an understanding, I didn't understand anything in the dream, except this is God. This is God. And I'm asking you, I want to ask you questions that aren't coming out of my mouth, and you show me how to be like a child. I remember the word, the kingdom of God is like a child. And what I felt God say to me is, I want you to just enjoy my presence. I want you to enjoy it like a child would playing in the streets. I just want you to know I'm here. And the knowledge that everything that I experience when I stand in faith with God, because what I had asked the Lord prior to this dream was, God, I'm preaching you, having us being an experience to you. And I know that people are going to think I'm a little crazy, which isn't anything unusual, but this may tip the scale. So do you want me, I know I'm right, I know I've heard you tell me, but do you want me to tell this, teach this now? Is now the where, when, and in the dream he answered me. In the dream he answered me saying, my experience is so deep with you, and you can be an experience to me. That's why I created you. And I'm telling you, yes, this is the time. And I experienced that in him not saying anything, but he said everything. But I didn't hear him here. I heard him with the depth of an experience that I don't know how to put into words other than to tell you what I'm telling you today. And it will unfold. And that's what you need to hear. He wants us to know that when you're going through an experience and you can't explain and you feel afraid or uncertain or whatever that is you're feeling, whatever it is physically, psychologically, physiologically, whatever it is you're going through, at that moment that you're just saying without complaining, and you're just saying, God, I just, however you say it, I trust that you're with me and my faith is pleasing you. My faith meaning I don't have to be able to explain it. I don't have to be able to think my way through it, to work it out, to figure it out. I know that my faith is an experience that you're waiting for. Your faith is an experience God is waiting for. And there isn't one of you that can have the same and be the same experience to God. Each one of you is a unique experience that God wants. He created us to be an experience to him. And it's all by him. It's not us, not by might, nor by power. Nothing arrogant, nothing egotistical about who I or any of us are, but knowing the fullness of God in Christ. Knowing the magnitude that you cannot hear with your ear and understand with your mind, the reality, the truth of why you're going through something that you're going through. And if you think if God could just explain it and you could hear it, that you'd be okay, you wouldn't get it. The depth isn't there. And what God has created you to do and what he's testing you in, proving you in, is so far beyond our mind. I understand now, exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think, because if you ask it, God will answer you. But unless it's by the Spirit that comes through you, you won't get it. It won't be enough. Because when it comes into your ear and your brain tries to put it together, it's like drinking the surface water off of a very, very deep well. God wants you to drink out of the depth of who He is. And your mind and your ear, for the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God. Indeed, it cannot be. You cannot. You cannot. So how do we get there? How do we get there then? In the moments of that dream, I didn't hear everything. I certainly didn't hear what I was after. I didn't say what I wanted to say. And another scripture came to mind. When you need to answer, when you need to speak, the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you what to say. And I wasn't to ask Him, are you an angel of God or are you God? I was supposed to say, are you God? And the answer was yes. And I knew He was. But when I woke up, when you wake up to the revelation of understanding, you're going to get it. And no one's going to be able to explain it to you. The revelation I'm giving you today is I can't explain what it is. But you can. Christ through you can make it understood. Christ through you can make it known to you. And it's in that understanding that you are transformed and you are carried from one level of glory to another level of glory. And it's not that any one glory exceeds the other, and yet it does. It's not that one is any better than another, but yet it appears to be. Appears. And the way there isn't by singing the songs we sing about us being in trouble, and we've all been in trouble, and we want to encourage people that are in trouble, and we want to say to them, don't give up because there's more and God's with you, and those are wonderful songs. Those are wonderful messages. But Paul said something that I'm saying to you guys, it's time to fold it up. Put away that pack and pull something else out that tells us who He is in us and not just who we are in Him. So we know and we can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but through faith, it is possible to please Him. And when we please Him, that's an experience God's having with you. When you can't explain why you're going through something, but you just say, God, here's my gift. I don't have to hear it here, and if I did, I wouldn't understand it, because you're taking me to deeper waters to drink from than I know. So I'm not going to even ask you to help me understand why. I'm just going to say, Father, let this experience be pleasing to you. Now, if someone brings you a gift, and your worship, your praise, your faith is a gift to God, but if someone brings you a gift and then tells you how much it cost them and what a sacrifice it was for them to give it to you, to bring it to you, it doesn't mean very much. And when we complain about the trying of our faith that makes us entirely complete, lacking nothing, and the truth of it is we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But when you complain about what God has allowed us to be, which is an experience through faith, through Christ and Christ alone, to Him, and we complain about what it took to get there, it's called double-mindedness. And Paul said, let not that man think he's going to get it. He's not going to receive anything from God. God's not holding it back. You are. Why does the Lord always show up at the last hour? Why is He just there just on time? He was there before you started. Why does it take us so long to get there? Why does it take us so long to see that he's there and he's been there all the time? He's omnipresent. He can't leave you. He can't forsake you. His love won't allow him to. When you have messed up, God didn't condemn you. He didn't think ill of you. God is love. You should read what love is. Love is kind. Love is forgiving. It doesn't look for fault. It doesn't look for wrong. It looks for a way to make everything right. It looks for a way to be kind to you. So you can feel the benevolence, the joy, the kindness, the forbearance, the mercy, the grace of God. He's not looking today. If you've rejected him to present day, he's still not looking it away and pointing his finger at you and saying, look at you. He's trying to look around what you keep putting up so he can get to you. Because when you see him as he is, you'll be like him. Now I know that religion, some spiritual leaders spare no expense to employ religious, dogmatic tailors to seam back together the veil of separation. But through the blood of Christ and his cross, he rent that veil. Indoctrinated voices spare no expense, however, at employing tailors to try and stitch the fabric of that separation together again. Because it has to be so much in religion about the person that is religious. How do we get there then to that place where we hear God? To forget your nature. And solely be in awe of his. True worship is not you coming and comparing, I'm unworthy, I'm not right, I'm not this, I'm not that. Listen, when the centurion soldier came to Jesus and said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, that didn't move God at all. That wasn't a good experience for God. But when he said, speak the word only, that was something God experienced through that man. So much so, Jesus said, I haven't had this experience. I haven't experienced this in all of Israel, but I am right now because of you. But when we come before God and we think about how broken and how, listen, God knows, you know, we all know, we can all break, we can all get broken. Everybody gets hurt, everybody gets angry, you know, everybody dies. And we talk about everybody's going to die. Maybe some generation will say, hey, he came to destroy that which created death, which is sin, and he put it away. Maybe some people will actually start really believing it and they'll start living and living and living. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. Abraham's womb was dead, or body was dead, Sarah's womb was dead, and God said, it doesn't make any matter to me, because if you believe, whatever you can believe, Old or New Testament, I can do it. I'm God. Is there any borders? Are there any boundaries to who I am? We have to lead. We cannot wait. God doesn't dwell in hesitation because he's holy. He's good. But instead of condemning you for hesitation, he's looking for a way to give you the heart and the mind without hesitation. He wants you to lead, so he's going to offer you opportunities where you can wait, you can hesitate, you can stand back, or you can say, I'd like to be the lead in this. I'd like my faith to lead. There are four lepers, the word says, and the kingdom was in starvation. It was a bad time. And four lepers know that there's a camp of their adversaries, if you will, their competitors. And they say, we stay here, we die. We give death an opportunity to come. We give wrong an opportunity to show up. And we are either going to die or we take a step of faith and we possibly live. Let's do it. Come dusk, they get up, they go to the camp of their competitors, their enemy, and they're gone because they've already heard you coming. So let them know you don't need to wait for anything or anyone. You're ready to go. And it's not so much a time or a date or a distance, it's why you're doing what you're doing. I'm doing it because the word of the Lord said. God said. So that's what I do, what I do. So you can choose when, right now. Caleb said, our competitors are massive, kind of excited about it. Let's go up at once. Let's go up. Let's make our presentation at once. Why would we tarry? God is with us. I remember, he said, Caleb said, I remember the word of the prophet. You know how you get great faith? Great faith doesn't come because things happen that you pray for. Great faith comes when you don't see it and you just keep believing because of the word of the Lord. Find a word of the Lord that matches what you know you need to believe for. Because of the word of the Lord. That's why God speaks to you, and then sometimes you think you're waiting. You're waiting, but he's experiencing you. And he likes it. And all along, when he's experiencing you, his glory is clothing you, even in your future that you can't see and you don't have to, because he's not going to explain it to you. He's going to reveal it through you. The word says that the mysteries of God that are to be revealed are not going to be explained to you. You're not going to go to heaven and go, oh, there they are. The word says the mysteries of God, think about this, are revealed in Christ through you. Let's go deep. Everything about God that is to be known, God said, I'm looking for a way. I'm looking for a way to set my people. I'm looking for a way to be kind, even though my people have sinned against me, blasphemed me, rejected me, hated me, despised me, and chosen to continue to reject me, and today continue to try to weave that fabric of the veil between them and I. I'm going to find a way to get to them, and I'm going to find a way to get in them. And he searched the heavens, and he saw the word, the Son, and he said, I found him, it's you. And he sent him. And he laid down his life for you and I, so we could fully believe. When I come to you, this isn't me saying I'm unworthy and I'm unholy and I'm broken. Sing the songs of prophecy, singers, worship leaders, ministers of song, minstrels of God. Sing the songs of the kingdom of God. Encourage the people, not by telling them who and what they are. Don't give them the identity of their own. They know that already. They have made a God out of it. They have separated themselves because they know they're not worthy. They know it's too hard. Sing the nature of God. It's in his nature that revelation finds its power. Revelation won't change you. Understanding the revelation does. And no one can explain it into your ear. So you can be angry at God. You can part with away from him because someone died or someone lost a position or you just feel like God isn't there. But what you need to know is you're more than you think you are. You're not a God to yourself. You're an experience to God. And all the time that you're believing when you don't see, God is experiencing you in favor. And you know what he's going to do? It's Adam and Eve in the garden. You know why they were naked but didn't know it? Is because they weren't in awe of themselves. No one had taught them that yet. They were just in awe of God's glory. And God's glory clothed them. The glory was all throughout the garden. It was in the heavens. It was a different atmosphere than you and I know today. But we can bring it back in the glory of God. Maybe not that atmosphere of the garden, but that atmosphere of his will and of his presence. And if we wait for someone to make it the day then you didn't do it, and your faith didn't lead it. So don't expect something grand to happen unless you Caleb it and say, let us go up at once. Or the four lepers, let's go into the city, or let's go into the camp. They go into the camp, and the word says, God made them sound like an army. God will make you sound like an army. An overcoming, overwhelming, overpowering army. Build the ark, and let it sail. God will bring everything in. We talk about a process. What process? I don't understand. And one time I did understand. Your life is a process. No, it's not a process. Your life is an experience, one of faith, one of love. And we're either experiencing God or He's experiencing us. Either way, the Word says Jesus came to make both Gentile and Jew, both man and God, one. John 15, Jesus says it this way. I brought a branch. Can someone bring me, Shelley? Thank you. And stay right there. There's a covenant of relationship between you and the Father, between your heart and my heart and Donna's heart, the heart of this body. There's a covenant that God made with you, and you agreed with God. And that covenant is everlasting. It will keep you. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. It will enlighten you. And God will use you, because this is not by any means a climax. It is an open door to a beginning scene, a moment where God will cause you to perform because of who He is in you. And I speak the blessing of God and His faithfulness, because you have believed Him, but first He has loved you. Move through you in ways you've never imagined possible. And I'll see you more. This is the greatest season of your life. Yes. This is fruit. This is from my our yard. I pick them mostly, but it's from our yard. It's Donna's love and beauty that makes him look so good. But this fruit, which are two little oranges. My tree's full of them. It's hanging down the branches. We cut it back. It just won't stop growing. The more we prune it, it gets bigger and bigger. Every year it's like, man, this tree's taking over the yard. And we cut it back. And I say, prune it back. And it just gets bigger and bigger and more and more and more. These are so tasty. A couple of you are going to be able to try, and you'll be able to bear witness to what I'm saying today. Only the really faithful one. Someone that's going to give really big today. This fruit is in this vine. Let me read something to you. I can quote it, but I'll read it to you. I am the true vine. Jesus is talking here. The red letters are in red. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He purges it so that it will bear more fruit. God's into fruit. He says, you are already clean through the word I have spoken to you, and you are. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Seems like that sounds familiar from the beginning. No branch can bear fruit of itself except it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit except you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. That says this. Everything it is, everything that's orange is in the vine. It's what we just read. It's in here, but you can't see it. It's in the trunk of the tree. It's in the vine. Jesus said, that's me. But you can't taste me. I am this, but you can't taste it. I'm in the root, but you can't taste it until you see the fruit. He said, this is you. All that I am, no one can see. No one can know. No one can experience. No eye has seen. No ear, not angelical or other, knows what I have prepared for you. But the Holy Spirit, He is revealing it. And He said He's not revealing it through any other source other than the source of my creation, mankind. This is in the very root of the tree, but you can't see it. You won't know it. You can't taste it until the branch, which you are, begins to bear it. And that's where we are today. This is not yesterday. This is not years gone by. You can't live on the faith of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. God's given you your own unique experience, your own unique fruit. Now, these are the same. They're on the same branch, and they're not even apart. They're touching one another. But there are many incredible differences. And the closer you look, the more you would see it. They look exactly the same, but they're exactly different in many ways. And so are you. You're an experience to God that He wants. And in that experience, He will clothe us in glory where our understanding becomes deeper, more viable. We will realize the value of it. And that all happens when you're just believing the Word of God. So God gives you His Word without showing you or talking to you in your ear as you want Him to, but He's revealing it through you so we can lead. It's time to lead and not follow. It's time to say we're not waiting for anything. We're not waiting for any other authority outside of who God is. Eve knew, I have so much to do. There's so much to do. I need knowledge. I need more understanding. I want it now. Take no thought for tomorrow or what you're going to need or how it's going to turn out. But make a determination. This is the day. And stick to it because God has said. Believe God has revealed through you. And nothing is by happenstance. You're destined. You are the fruit. And this is where God is glorified. I'm not coming before your presence remembering how bad I am and how unworthy. I come before you saying, speak the word only. I am as you say I am. I'm crucified with you. Nevertheless, I live and it's not really me. It's who I was intended to be, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Let the nations of the earth call you blessed. Let them see you take the lead. Let them see you do it without waiting on them to tell you it's okay. Wait and you stay waiting. Take a step of faith and you end up leading. Let them come to you after you have already been established, after you have already set your feet on the ground and said, this is who we are. This is what God has said. If we are going to make a difference, we cannot wait for someone else to take the lead. That's not leading, that's following. And we're warned not to follow the course of this world, even the course of wisdom of the world is weaker than the foolishness of God. Live by faith. Let the word of the Lord be the strength in you. This is a time. This is a time where we won't wait. They'll hear you coming. They'll be intimidated by you. Not because of you, but because of the word of the Lord that you have followed, stood on, and affirmed by your faith. And God will make it bear fruit. Where people can't say, well, that was a good idea. That was wisdom of men. That was wisdom of the world. Wisdom nonetheless, but wisdom. Let them look at you and say, I wouldn't have done it that way. Why did you? And you will say, because of the word of the Lord. So choose. But do it because it's by faith and not the wisdom of the world. If Christ be in me, the body is dead. All sin did was help me out because it wasn't my purpose and I died with it. So there wasn't anything about me that resembled sin. Everything about me resembled God. Yes. He knows what it feels like when you live by faith. We don't have a high priest over us who is untouched by everything that you've experienced, but he knows it because in every way that you could possibly be, he felt it. He experienced it. Tempted in every manner, yet without sin. He prevailed as the Word of God. And so will you. This is the greatest season of your life. This is an hour unlike any other. You touched it, it's yours. Taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. I'm thankful for the branch, because off of you comes the fruit, and that's what pleases the Father. This is a singular, infinitive day unlike any other. This is a time of definition, not difference. God doesn't want you to acknowledge the difference between you and He. He wants you to know the unity of He. It isn't about the difference today. It's about the definition of who He is. Christ in me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. I know who you are. I know in whom I have believed, and who I believed in. You are God. You're that in me. You're that in me. The moment you compare, consider it idolatry. Now you have been God compared as a God, evil, good, bad, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. You're still comparing yourself with God. Don't do that. They that compare themselves with one another are not wise. You're unwise. And who can say to God, I'll pull you down or I'll pull you up? I'll say of the Lord, this is the day. Today. Don't give time for something to happen that you didn't foresee come to pass because you hesitated. Let us go up at once. Let us be the marvel. You lead. You walk by the power of the wisdom of God that flows through you. You know who you are. You know. You know. You know. You know. You know. He did everything, and it's done, to take any distance out of the way, any timeline. The progress we make doesn't take time. Let this mind be in you. It's by, with all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. Understand, if God be for me, what can be against me? This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. This is the day God has made, right here, right now. I am as He said I am. I just really am. No, I really am. And I'm not coming before God when I can't see things going right. No matter what's going on, when you're standing there in faith, God is experiencing you. And trust me, trust Him, it's going right. He hasn't forgotten about you, but He knows what's required so you can be proven to be the good, perfect. To prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of the Father. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I'm going to let you go. Misunderstood so often. I want to tell you, there's no, when a man or woman's ways please the Lord, He makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Do you understand? They don't have to like you. They don't have to say well about you, but God will cause peace to happen. No weapon formed against you will do anything to harm you, won't prosper against you. But you have to know that. You have to know that. A two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Don't give God praise and then talk about the evil one. Who cares? If he's standing right here whispering in your ear, it's no different than your neighbor whispering in your ear. As a matter of fact, your neighbor has opportunity to be born again, no matter what type of a heathen unbeliever they will be. That voice doesn't have a chance. There's nothing to fight. You know how God said to resist him? Surrender to me. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. You resist the enemy, and he'll flee. Whoever and whatever he is, we got to stop the foolishness. We got to stop building the foundation on the things we were delivered from in the beginning. We have to go on to maturity. We got to do it. And I can't make you do it, but somebody's going to do it. Someone hears me. Someone gets it. Someone understands. Someone doesn't need a fall guy. Someone doesn't need an excuse other than Jesus. You're my reason for every season. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How many times have you heard that preached? Casting down demon spirits and every evil principality and power and just demolishing the kingdom of the devil. No, that's not what it's talking about at all. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. There they are again, strongholds. What are they? Arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Take, so we should take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Let me just break it down. Anything, your neighbor, the devil, a demon, someone that doesn't like you, you were treated unfairly, any argument you can say that could hinder you from Christ, cast that down. That principality, which literally in this passage is talking about nothing more than the perception of your mind, and that alone. There's no demon or devil involved in this scripture whatsoever. It is misinterpretation of the word. Study it in every language you can find. I am 100% accurate, is what I do. I listen for the voice of God. Cast down every thought that says, this is trying to hinder me. This will hold us back. What if this doesn't work? What if we go too soon? What if we go too late? Casting down every thought and say, let us go up at once. Let's do what God has given us to do as quickly as we can. Knowing that we've done it by faith and by the word of God. And God will let them hear us coming. And God will give us renown and honor. And we will take the spoil of the competitors. And God will be glorified. And then the rest of the city, the rest of the nations will see us and they will follow and they will go in and they will do the same. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you and you will be witnesses for me throughout all the earth. This is the greatest season of your life. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout. Stand with me, if you would, this morning. Father, we worship you in your great and mighty name. Lord of lords and King of kings, the one and only God. There is no other. And we know you because you have drawn us by your Spirit. And we call upon you. Hear, O heavens. Give ear, O earth. For the Lord our God, he has spoken. Go now and do as quickly as you can what God has given you to do. Without delay. Without hesitation, because we are a new thing that God is doing, and we must demonstrate our newness from start to finish. God has given us the door of leadership. He's given us the keel of direction. He is our guide. He will blow the wind into our sails, and we will go where He wills us to go. And God will be glorified in all that we are, all that we say, and all that we do. Without fear and without complaint and without consideration of what man can bring to the table, we say our statement is, this is what God has done, and this is what God is doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout in the house today. Father, we worship You. We glorify and praise Your mighty name, Holy One of God. If you're unsure, if you're born again and you say, I wish someone would pray with me, I'm going to pray with you right now. You need Jesus as not a Lord, but the one and only Lord, the one and only Redeemer. Not what you can do or what you failed or what you didn't do or where you didn't go. You need Christ as Lord and Savior. And you can pray this with me right now. You don't have to come down here. You don't have to do anything except receive Him and then just let everybody know, I'm changed. Jesus is Lord. Pray with me and be born of the Spirit. Jesus, thank You. I don't have to understand, but You do. And You make that known to me. But one thing I believe, You are the Lord, the Savior. You laid down Your life so You could give it to me. So You could forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness and all past, and save me. I receive that gift right now, at once, right now, according to Your will and Your word. I accept You as Lord and Savior. Jesus, fill me with Your Spirit. I need it. I really need Your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. I receive it by faith and faith alone. And that's how I get it. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for filling me. Now I'm ready to experience You and to be an experience that is pleasing to You. Not by might or my power, but by Your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted. God, we give You praise for this day. In everything, in every way, we glorify You, God. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord has formed it for Himself, for His purpose and for His pleasure. It, they, we are. And for Your pleasure, God, we stand ready to walk by faith, to believe You, not even wait for things to say to us, you need to believe, but that we stand and say, I'm going to believe You today. I'm going to believe You for exceedingly abundantly and beyond all I know to ask or think, according to Your power that works in and through me. I know who I am in You. Now I want to know who You are in me. Be revealed, God, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone, he shouted, yeah.